There we are.
That's good. Now, I like stories. I like films that tell stories. I have a house full of books. In fact, we have more books than bookshelves, but fortunately someone doesn't mind. And I just love the idea of stories. And I think as we read through stories, in stories, we find these stories deal with ideas, they deal with values, they deal with some of the big questions in life, even though the stories may appear simple. You know, it can be through some of the most simplest stories that we can find questions like, who are we and what gives us meaning? And yet, some of those simple stories can be so complex. I think that's one of the reasons why we love stories. We take a nice, simple story, yet it can become so much more than that. And so I think it's no surprise that the most creative force in the world, our Creator God, used stories to talk and explain to us. We have in Scripture the big story, but we also have our Savior Jesus, when he came, decided to speak to us in stories. Stories that could be short and easy, yet complex and deep at the same time. And sometimes, though, we may have read these stories so many times, or we've heard them explained, or there's such a difference between our time and the time of the story that sometimes we miss some of the complexities and some of the, the challenges in the parables. Very often parables become nice, simple stories, and we forget that they're actually full of challenge. So this morning, I would like to look at a parable, because I think this parable actually deals with those two big questions I mentioned. Who are we, and what gives us meaning? Now, you expect with a very difficult question like that, I'm going to pick a nice long parable. But remember, what did I say about stories? Sometimes the shortest stories are the most complex. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me and turn to Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, there you are. That's simple, isn't it? Two lines. Now, before I start, let me ask a question. Hands up anyone who's heard anyone preach a sermon on the pearl of great price. Hands up anyone who's read a book. Yeah, okay. And I think I can almost tell you what they were. It was something like this. The kingdom of heaven is such a valuable object. It's just like a pearl. You probably heard one or two like that. And it's so valuable, you know, it's worth everything you can have. Or perhaps you've heard someone say that, you know, we are the pearl. We were of such great value that Jesus would give up anything and everything for us. Have you heard some of those? Well, they're not wrong, but they might not be right. Now, what I mean is, yes, the kingdom is all that, and Christ is all that, but is that really what these two verses are trying to tell us? Because let me ask you a question. In this parable, what is the kingdom of heaven like? You see, yes, some of you think it's a treasure, the pearl, some think it's the merchant. No. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Okay. In order to maybe understand what this parable is about, we're going to need to have a quick look at the merchant, at the pearl, and at the idea of seeking something. So I hope you bear with me a while. Come on, it can't be too complicated, can it? It's only two verses. You can give me a little bit of time there. Okay. Now, the first thing to note is that merchant actually is a person. Now, I really hate when people do this, so I'm going to have to just say something. If we were to translate this literally, it would be the kingdom of heaven is like a person, a man, a merchant. Which is kind of why the idea of it being Jesus coming searching for us, although it's very true, is not actually what this parable has in mind. Okay, so we got that out of the way. It's about a merchant. Now, you probably know this word. I'm going to teach you a little bit here. If the word for merchant is emporus, emporus. Now, you may have heard something similar. What's the old-fashioned word for a big shop? An emporium. There you are. You see, you knew Greek without knowing it. And the idea here describes a kind of wholesaler, someone who has agents working around finding things and buying and selling. In fact, you could describe this as someone who markets what you don't know, markets what you didn't think you needed at prices you couldn't afford. That's what this merchant is. In fact, you see, today, the idea of a merchant or a trader, well, it's a fairly neutral idea, isn't it? We don't think of them as being particularly good or particularly bad. But this is why I say a little bit of understanding context helps. Because in biblical times, this actually has negative connotations. Well, you're looking strange, you didn't know that. Well, there is only one other mention of businessmen, traders, merchants, with the same phrase in the rest of the New Testament. Any guesses where that might be? We can't hear him. Martin is jumping up and down and up there, and he's shouting out Revelation 18. There he is, he's waving at me. In Revelation 18, you have the merchants who are weeping and wailing, Babylon has fallen, there's no one who they can buy and sell. These are the merchants who have dealt in high-end luxury at the cost of lives. You know, and you read later on, they're complaining they can't buy and sell anymore. That's the only other time this particular word is used. You know, these people deal in decadence, not the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's the other end of the market. Now, you probably know that the Hebrew in the Old Testament was translated into Greek for the early, you know, Jewish community. And the words that they chose to describe merchants and sellers and buyers, well, apart from one or two sort of neutral terms where they just talk about selling, most of the times they use this word again, it's negatively. It is these merchants that sell Joseph into slavery. It's the merchants that sell King Solomon all of the stuff he doesn't need to fill his storehouses. It's these merchants that sell Israelites into slavery. And In the Septuagint, this Greek copy, there's some books that we call the apocryphal or deuterocanonical books, written around about the same kind of time. And in one of them, in Sirach, it describes a merchant like this. A merchant can hardly keep from wrongdoing, nor is a tradesman innocent of sin. They don't seem to like these merchants. You see, it is describing not the kind of marketplace store where you buy the necessities of life, not where you get your olive oil and your bread, but high-end luxury. And the same word, we've said emporium, remember, that comes from it. When that word is used to describe marketplace in the New Testament, again, it's not very positive. Jesus describes the temple being turned into a marketplace. James and Peter use the same word to sell, to mean exploit, where they worry about the people who are exploiting you. So they see merchants as being exploitative. So the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Now already we're challenged. Already we're complex. You know, how can the kingdom of heaven be like a high-end luxury merchant who you don't like? Well, let's leave that for a moment and let's have a look at a pearl. Now, pearls aren't just fine jewels. Pliny, who writes around about this time, describes pearls as the topmost rank of riches. You think gold's important? Oh, it might be, but it's not a pearl. You think land's important? Oh, it is, but it's not a pearl. You've got a big bank account? Good for you. Is it in pearls? Pearls are the richest, the topmost luxury item. In fact, the majority of people living in the Roman Empire, including, you know, the people there in sort of first century Palestine, would never have seen one apart from an artistic presentation. It's this mythical value. It's, you know, you can't have it. You never see it. We do have them mentioned in the Bible, of course. Back where? Revelation 18. What's in the cargo? Pearls. Pearls for the kings. Pearls for the merchants. Pearls probably for the great whore as well. Definitely not for a carpenter from Nazareth, or the fishermen around him, or the tradesmen who've come out to listen to him talk. Pearls? What are they? They're not for people like us. The story is told at the same time of Cleopatra. Cleopatra meets Antony, and she wagers Antony that she can, at a banquet, eat 10 million sesterces worth. Now, Antony looks at Cleopatra. He looks at her figure and thinks there's no way she can eat that much. It's a safe bet. 10 million sesterces, well, depending on how you count it, is anything between $1 and $4 million. It's hard to work out exactly because it's tied to the way the value's tied. So there's the banquet. Tables of food laid out, and I can imagine Antony's there doing the calculations in his head. Even if she clears all this, he's good to go. As she sits down, one of Cleopatra's servants comes with a bowl of vinegar. She takes off one of her pearl earrings, drops it in the vinegar, and drinks it. She has consumed more than 10 million sesterces. Pearls are the ultimate luxury item. Pearls are the ultimate sign of conspicuous wealth and consumption. That's what pearls are. In fact, in the New Testament, the only other, well, apart from the pearly gates, which are one whole pearl and use a slightly different word, the only time pearls are mentioned, it's in Timothy. Sorry, apart from in Revelation, where, again, they're told about it being the cargo that cost people's lives. In 1 Timothy 2:9, people are told not to come flaunting their wealth to church, and pearls included there. So in other words, this is something you really don't want to be seen flaunting. And yet, this is what the merchant does. He buys and trades. The merchant is one of the guys that we're not supposed to like in Revelation 18. Yet the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Well, is he looking? Well, he's not just looking. He's seeking. He recognizes that there's something he wants but doesn't yet have. And it's at this point that the story, just when you think it couldn't get any less confusing, just completely breaks down. You see, you would have thought to have been a successful merchant requires a bit of common sense, a bit of wisdom, a bit of being in the right place at the right time, a bit of money maybe, but you'd need to know what you're doing. I mean, you've got to know that you're buying the right stuff, and you've got to know you've got the right market, but this merchant is not the epitome of wisdom. He wants something, he's looking for fine pearls, yet he changes his search halfway through. In fact, he doesn't find what he's looking for. He's just looking for fine pearls. Instead, he finds the pearl. Now, there's a difference. We'll get to it a bit. You see, this is all about seeking and finding. He seeks and he finds. He seeks a commodity to sell, but he finds the kingdom of heaven. And what does he do when he finds this pearl of great price? Well, he sells everything. Now, this isn't just a fire sale. This isn't, what do we have in our shop over there? Liquidate it all and buy this pearl. No. Do you remember the parable of the servant who was owed money? You know, he owed money and he was forgiven. Then he took the other person, he said, send them out and everything he owns. That's the same phrase here. In other words, everything the merchant has, he sold in order to buy this pearl. So there's something he desires, and yet this something will not nourish him. He can't eat it, Mrs. Cleopatra. And one meal's not going to keep him going. He can't provide him shelter. It's not that big. You know. There's another parable before about a man finding treasure, selling all he has to buy the field of the treasure. That's a little bit different because he still has a field to work. And if the harvest fails, he can sell a bit of the treasure. With a pearl, you've either got it or you haven't. You know the phrase, you put all your eggs in one basket? Well, even that's more sensible because at least you can eat the eggs. Is the merchant risky? Is he wise? Is he foolish? Is he devoted? He's fulfilled by a desire he did not know he had. And yet, at that moment, his identity changes. Because at that moment, you can no longer call him a merchant. He's not selling the pearl. He has nothing left to sell because he sold it all. He sold everything he has. He has searched for something and instead found something else, and it's changed who he is. He's no longer a merchant. This is getting more complex, more challenging, the more we look at it. We've looked at who the merchant is, we've looked at what the pearl is, we've looked at what the searching is, and yet we've still got two verses, and what on earth does it mean? We've got a story of a man in the wrong profession, a man of the wrong target, expensive non-kosher jewels, and the wrong search. You know, he thought he's looking for fine pearls, and said he finds this. He divests everything. So a man in the wrong profession, a wrong target, a wrong search, and a wrong result. He's got nothing of practical value. Huh. And I thought these short stories were supposed to be easy. Do you remember I said I like stories because they made us ask those deep questions? Questions like, who are we? Questions like, what gives us meaning? Well, actually, maybe these two very complicated, challenging verses actually go to the heart of this question. You see, I think we too are continually searching. We are looking for what fulfills us. We're looking for what gives us identity, what gives us meaning and purpose. And we think, if only I complete this level of education, if I only get that, if only I get this job, if I get that house, if I get this relationship, if I get that particular thing. And there's always something that we feel will give us our identity, give us our purpose, and say who we are. But every time we get there, we find no, there's something else. Our desires are never fulfilled. And yet, this story tells us that that cycle can be broken. The one thing we're not looking for can break through and give us meaning and purpose. But that, of course, raises the question. Will we recognize the pearl when we see it? Or will we be too busy looking for the things that we can trade, the things that give us value, the things that give us meaning? Will we miss up the opportunity to grasp the pearl? I had a friend I used to climb with. He was a computer programmer and he used to enjoy maths for some strange reason. And he would enjoy writing programs to track the stock market, work out where it's going. And he decided he was going to get into poker. I mean, that's maths, right? Probabilities. So I remember on one climbing trip, he had four different books on poker and poker schemes and systems. And he worked out where he was trying to design an artificial intelligence thing that would play poker. But he decided he was going to go and play at some local tournaments. So he went to some pretty large regional gatherings, and
he wasn't bad at it. But he only ever got to like the final stage, the last four or five, and then he would always drop out. Why? Because he had calculated the risk and the value. He knew if he left then he could go with his pockets full. But to go any further, he couldn't calculate that. He knew that when push came to shove, he would have to go all in and put everything in to see what happened. This merchant realizes that this pearl is so valuable, is so important, completely refines him that he has to go all in. Everything the merchant has just pales into insignificance with the pearl. Can we assess what is really of value to us? More importantly, can we, are we willing to give up all we thought was important for a chance of the pearl? So another little point here. No one would mistake what is important for the merchant. Because he's not a merchant anymore. He's simply a man with a big pearl. A bit like Midas, you know, everything turns to gold. But everyone would know who this person is and know what his pearl was. Do those around us know what our pearl is? Have we, in our search for meaning and fulfillment, discovered the kingdom of heaven? Have we decided to go all in? Because it is worth so much more than the things that we cling on to. Do those around us see what is of real value and real importance to us? Or do we simply look like another merchant out to feather our nests? Okay. Two small, short, confusing and challenging verses. A wrong person looking for the wrong thing with a wrong result. And yet Jesus tells this story and says, this is the kingdom of heaven. What are you looking for? Will you give up all and go all in when you find it? Will others know what your pearl is? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's my prayer that we will each discover that fine pearl and that we will go all in for the kingdom of heaven.